Commonwealth Giving Church this morning. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad that not only I'm saved this morning, I'm glad I have God's Word. I'm glad that God, when we get saved, gives us the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I got a comforter this morning. Thank you for this building, for the opportunity to come to church. Thank you for the country that I live in. I'm thankful that I live in a free country. I'm thankful this morning for all God's blessings in my life. How more than I can count. Count your blessings. I can't.
Yeah.
Can't count my blessings.
Hey.
Too many of them. Too many blessings. Like I preached in the Sunday school hour, may God just help us to love him more, because he's worthy of it.
Yeah.
There's no one on this planet worthy of the love that God's worthy of. He's the one with whom we have to do, and I'm thankful for my salvation, just the opportunity to open up his word this morning and come to church this morning. It's a privilege and an honor that we have. So let's go to order of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for these people that came out this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray just lead, God, and direct these services, dear God, that we just give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, we love you. Lord, help us to love you even more. And Lord, now as Brian is ready to come up here, we're going to sing in your Lord, I pray, God, that we would sing these songs, dear God. Not sing these songs as a matter of entertainment, dear Lord, but sing these songs as worship to you.
Yes.
May we offer the sacrifice of our lips, dear God, the calves of our lips. May our mouths sing forth your praises, and that we would glorify you and lift you up and magnify you now this morning, because you're worthy of it. We thank you for it. We pray these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to be in church this morning. I look forward to singing some songs out in the praise of our Lord and Savior.
Hey.
I love singing these songs. They help prepare my heart for the preaching, and I am thankful for them. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Turn to page 224 in the Great Hymns of Faith hymn book. Page 224, I Know Whom I Have Believed. We'll sing this one a cappella together. Page 224. I know now why God wondrous grace to me he had made known. Nor why unworthy Christ in full redeemed before his own. But I know whom I have believed, and is able to save our soul, right, and yeah, even more so that he is able to keep it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You would turn with me to page 295. Page 295. He leadeth me.
Spirit of the Holy
Well, the Lord has me going a little different direction this morning. We're not going to continue on this morning with looking at the kings there and the Old Testament. Miles away this past week, the Lord really laid upon my heart to go a different direction this morning. So I pray we just take heed to the Holy Spirit of God. You know what's missing today in our church is, and I'm just going to say it, but I'll give a little asterisk before I go into the sermon this morning. In no way am I trying to get a retread or somebody to doubt their salvation. That's not why I'm preaching when I'm preaching this morning. I'm not trying to get people to doubt. I'm trying to get people to think about their souls. I think today we have a lot of false professions. I think we have a lot of people today that will say the right words. They have the right words. They know the right Bible verses. They know that Jesus died on the cross. Supposedly they repented of their sins and they believe in Jesus. And if you ask them they're going to heaven, the majority of America would say that they're going to heaven. Actually, all the funerals I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of funerals, I've been to a lot of funerals of bad people. And every one of them is going to heaven. And I will say this too. A lot of people will say, well, you can't say if somebody's going to hell. Well, if you can't say that somebody's going to hell, then you can't say somebody's going to heaven either. That's the truth. There's some people, the evidence of their life, well, you shouldn't say that because you don't know. Well, everything that was evident in their life pretty much pointed to that they had rejected God and didn't want God. I've never been to no funeral, and I've been to some gang members' funerals to where they've killed people, and I've been to their funerals. And guess what? They play drums in church. They love God. They play drums in church. They love God, and they were in a choir. And they're out there shooting people up. But they're in heaven now, and they got their angel's wings, and they're up there with God, and they're singing their favorite rap song with God or their favorite country song with God. Dale Earnhardt's up there riding his NASCAR around the racetrack up there with God. You don't ever go to no funeral and somebody says, well, yeah, I'm afraid so. I think they're in hell. Never been to a funeral like that. And you know what's missing today? What we sang there, and I picked a few of the songs out this morning, Brian. That's just a different direction. But Brethren, We Have Met to Worship was written in the 1800s, 19th century. And it says that to help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin. And we've short-circuited that today with salvation and how we conduct it today in our easy believism methods. We don't let people struggle with sin. Sometimes it's not even mentioned. Repentance is thrown in the trash can. And if you just believe in Jesus, now listen, I believe that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But if you just believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. And, well, the Bible says the devil believes. The devil knows there's a God more than most Christians know there's a God. The Bible says that the devil and the devils, they tremble at God. How many Christians do you know that tremble at God or have ever trembled at God? You know what's missing today is people realizing and having a fear of God. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding, and we're missing that today in biblical salvation and how we put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and we've left that part out. We've left that part out, and we left that part out for the person to realize that they're a sinner and that they're undone before God and that their righteousness is filthy rags. Basically, they realize they stink in the nostril of God and they need a Savior. And that's when you come in with the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, yes, there's no hope for you, but Jesus Christ has provided a way out. We don't let the trembling mourners struggle hard with sin. And they knew that in the 1800s. You read about some old-time preachers. They didn't do things the way things are done today in churches, and I'm afraid in many Bible-believing churches today. We short-circuit and we neglect the other party in this matter, and that's called the Holy Ghost, or the one called the Holy Ghost. You just don't go up, Brother Brian. You just didn't go up to this woman here, Erica, when the first day you met her and say, hey, you're going to be my wife. Come on, let's get married. I'm telling you, you're going to be my wife. Let's go. I don't even know who you are. You see, there's two in the transaction of salvation. The sinner and the Savior. And just like it takes two individuals, and I'm going to keep it simple, you need two individuals in order for there to be a pregnancy. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not very smart, but two times that a male and a woman, a man and a wife may come together, not every time is there a birth. Not every time is there a conception. And there's only certain windows, the way God set it up in a natural world, to where conception is there or the possibility for conception's there. And see, we think that if we just call out, God's there to answer. Maybe not, my friend. Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom says they'll call and I won't answer. They'll seek me early, but they won't find me. Why? Because they didn't fear me and they didn't seek me when I was calling out to them. See, we always think God is going to be there. God might not be there. See, we don't dictate what God does. God dictates what he does. God doesn't go off of our timetable. You see, Jesus says, if any man knocks, he'll open the door. Now take your Bible this morning. I'll show what I'm talking about. Look at John chapter 3 this morning. Are you or have you ever knocked at the Savior's door? Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse number 1. John 3 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. You have a man called Nicodemus seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ at nighttime because of the religious crowd that he's a part of called the Pharisees. And he doesn't want to be associated or seen, at least not at this point, with Jesus and asking him the questions that he's going to ask him. So he comes to Jesus at night, the Bible says in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First it says in verse 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse number 5, the Lord says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you for your precious salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I pray if somebody here or listening, Lord, online, has never truly been born again of God. They've never been translated from darkness to light. They've never been converted. They've never been born again. Lord, I pray you'd show them. Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to receive what you'd have for us this morning, Lord. Help us now of your word. Lead, guide, and direct that you would be glorified, magnified, and lifted up in all that's said and done. We ask these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says here in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The first thing to notice is that Nicodemus came to him by night. In reality, this is the case for every individual that comes to Jesus Christ. You see, before we're saved, we are in darkness. Before we are saved, we are walking in a spiritual darkness, because when Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden, listen, our spirit was cut off in the sense that our spirit was dead now to the things of God, and we are now in darkness spiritually because of the sin that was committed back there in the garden and the sin that we commit. You see, before we're saved, our sin has separated us between our separate us from here to God the Father. We're separated from God the Father because of our sin. And the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You see, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Wherefore, all must come to the light in order to find deliverance from the darkness of their sin. Take your Bible and flip over a few pages to John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1 and look at verse number 1. John 1, 1. Look what the Bible says here. John 1, 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just a short little break right here for a second. Every word of the Bible is important. And every capitalization or lack thereof is important in the Word of God. You see, if you take one little word and put an A there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. You put that little A in there, and then you lowercase that G, you run into some serious problems. So I have a New World Translation Bible or book, I won't call it about a book, well, in my office, and that's exactly what happens. They throw an A in there and they lowercase that G. No, Jesus Christ isn't a God, he is God. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God. If Jesus Christ is not God this morning, like I said in Sunday school, we're still in our sins. You see, because I can't die for you and you can't die for me. You see, you say, well, yeah, you could die for me. And in a sense, I could die for you, but all that I would save would be your physical life. I can do nothing for you spiritually. I can do nothing for the sins that you've committed. I can do nothing to clear your conscience. I can do nothing to give you hope or peace or happiness or comfort. You see, only those things come from Jesus Christ. And that's because he was God manifest in the flesh, the Son of Man and the Son of God that died for your sins and my sins and that shed God's blood on that cross. You see, when that blood was shed on that cross, it was like any other blood there ever was. It was the innocent blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God. It was God's blood that flowed down on the cross of Calvary. And it's that blood that played an atonement for your sins. And so it was a propitiation for our sins. If that blood is not shed, then we're still without hope. You see, Jesus Christ could not have died by being hung. Jesus Christ couldn't have died by being suffocated or drowned. Jesus Christ, the only way the Lamb of God could have died for the sins of the world was to have his blood shed on that cross at Calvary. And that blood makes an atonement for our sins. That blood appeases the wrath of the Father up there in heaven. And it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. You see, I and you deserve to go to that cross. You see, I and you deserve hell this morning. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend this morning, do you have everlasting life? I'm not asking this morning, I said it in the Sunday school, I'm not asking this morning if you've made a profession. I could care less about a profession. Do you have a possession? William Booth said in the latter part of the 1800s, the man who started the Salvation Army, he said in the 21st century, he said one of the major dangers will be professions without possession. Conversions without conviction. That's William Booth about 106 some years ago, saying that the dangers of this century and the century we're in now would be that you'd have people that would profess Jesus Christ and never know him. I forget the young lady's name. I think her name was Agatha. But there was a woman, and there's a story in the Bible, and there's a whole other message on this. But when King David was getting ready to die, he was old, he couldn't move much. And the Bible says that they sought out a young virgin. Some of you might not be familiar with the story, but right before King David died, they sought out for a young virgin. And the reason they sought out for a young virgin was to help King David to keep his heat, to help him to stay alive longer. And what this young virgin would do is she'd get in and she'd sleep close to the king. Hear me this morning. She would sleep as close as she could get to the king. She would be as close as the king, close as the king as you possibly get, except for one instance. She got as close to the king and she helped warm the king and she was there with the king and she was close to the king. But the problem is she never knew the king. And I'm afraid today many get close to the king, they get close to salvation, but they never know the king. And that virgin, though she was so close to the king, she never knew him. She never knew him. And the Bible says here in John chapter 3, that Nicodemus came for Jesus Christ at night. And the Bible says in John 1 verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But look what the Bible says in verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, that's Jesus Christ. Capital L-I-G-H-T, that's Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, that all men through him might believe. The Bible says in verse 8, he was not that light, referring to John the Baptist, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Look what verse 9 says. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. One thing I know for sure this morning, brethren, is that no man or woman someday is going to stand before God and have an excuse of why they never got saved. Every man, every woman, every child, everybody has a conscience. And they know good from evil because our great-great-great-grandfathers, way back 6,000 years ago, they took of that fruit and they now have knowledge of good and evil. And we have a conscience that God's given us. And the Bible says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. He was in the world and the world was made by him and everybody came to him because he was the creator. No. Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. No greater witness. The Word of God personified in the flesh. Look, brethren, think about this for a moment. If Jesus were here today, if we were living in those times, and you came across Jesus and he hugged you or you got to touch him or like John said, our hands beheld him and handled him. They handled the very Word of God. They were able to put their hands on God. Think about it for a moment. Brethren, it always blows my mind away when I think of Mary and she had the baby Lord Jesus and she was holding the one that is giving her the very breath that she breathes. She's changing the diaper of one that spoke everything into existence. She's helping to teach how to crawl and walk, the one that gives her the ability to walk. She has God's hand in her hand and she's leading him along. What a God. Islam cannot give that to you. Buddhism cannot give that to you. Hinduism cannot give that to you. A love that can be, that passes all understanding. That God would love me so much that he would go through all that he would go through, knowing that the majority of mankind would reject him. And not just mankind, his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So don't look at me strange this morning if I'm to put forth that I think a lot of people who are in churches today have never been saved. Because you had in the New Testament when Jesus Christ, God manifested in flesh, came into his own and his own received him not. They had a form of godliness. They had a zealousness for God, but it was not according to truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And Jesus Christ brings a deliverance to your soul that you can't even begin to explain. That's what I'm talking about this morning. When I got saved, God changed me. I'm not what I used to be. Old things passed away, all things become new. Not that I had everything in line and everything good and right in my life. Not that I'd never sinned again. Not that I was perfect and everything just went right for me since the day I got saved. But I knew I was changed. The lights came on. This book became alive. The hymns became alive to me. And I'm here to ask you this morning, is that the case in your life? To where you know, the Bible says in 1 John, we can know that we have eternal life. Do you know this morning that you passed from darkness to light? That you've been converted by the power of God and not the power of man? Let's read on. Verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, which were born, the Bible says, by the will of the flesh, which were born nor by the will of man. That's your easy believism today. Though there's a lot of people today born by the will of man. Well, so-and-so saved me. Well, so-and-so saved me. No, you ought to be saying, Jesus Christ saved me.
Amen.
I don't want anybody ever say, well, Pastor Chris is the one that saved me. No, I didn't save nobody. John lists three things here, which were born. If you take those commas out, you can go for which were born of God. That's what's needed. Which were born of God, not by blood. You don't get saved because grandma saved. You don't get saved because your mommy and daddy were saved. It's not a bloodline passed down through the generations that because your parents were saved, you're saved because you got their blood. It's not a blood. It's not of a bloodline. Nor is it of the will of the flesh. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't will your way into heaven. You can't get to heaven by the flesh, because the Bible says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get there by this flesh, nor, the Bible says, the will of man. A man cannot will you into heaven. A man cannot pray you into heaven. A man can't forgive your sins like the Pope. Brother, I'm out there in the street corners. I'll tell you what, you keep me in prayer. Those that you pray for me, you pray for me on Thursday nights and Lord willing on Saturdays. God gave me some great boldness the other day. I don't know why, but preaching, listen, Mary can't save you. You don't pray to Mary. The Pope can't save you. The Pope can't put away your sins. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from your sins. And we don't pray to the saints. And we don't pray to the Mary. We pray to Jesus Christ, the intercessor, our advocate with the Father. We have access. If you're saved, you don't need no man to get to God. Each one of you is just like me. We all, if we're saved, we have access to the throne of grace. Because you know why? When he died on that cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom, and we now have access to the Holy of Holies. Through what? Through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'm asking you this morning, do you have access to the throne room? Have you talked to God lately, and has he talked to you? Take your Bible, look at Galatians. The book of Galatians, I believe it's chapter number 4. The book of Galatians, chapter number 4, and look at verse number 9. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. We got a lot of people who say, well, I talk to God, but my question to you this morning is, does God talk to you? Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. God won't speak to us through an audible voice. It's not Bible. It's not Bible. God speaks to us today through his word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does the Holy Spirit bear witness to? Truth. So what will the Holy Spirit bear witness to? Truth. Well, who's truth? Jesus Christ and his word. And the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. From what? The truth. The word of God. You know how God speaks to us today? It's not by some audible voice. It's not by him sending some angel. I don't need some angel to come talk to me. And even if an angel came to talk to the man, to a man in the New Testament, he told him to call for another man to give him the message. Look at Cornelius. Cornelius is praying, he's giving alms, he's seeking God with all how he knows best to seek God. An angel appears to him and says, hey, the angel doesn't give him the answers. The angel says, go call for Peter and he'll tell you what you need to do. So if any Christian says, well, an angel told me, no, 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 that's not Bible. Every time an angel appears to somebody, he tells, go call for a man, go call for a man, go call for a man, and he'll tell you what you need to hear. So I'm not talking about an audible voice. But I am talking that God speaks to your spirit by the power of the Holy Ghost, which indwells you. His spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Therefore, we cry, Abba, Father. And I don't know about you, but since I've been saved, I picked this book up and God speaks to me through this book. God tells me things that I'm doing wrong, and I'm not even reading the things that I'm doing wrong, but God's saying, hey, your attitude ain't right. Hey, you need to get this right. Hey, I want you to go do this. Hey, I want you to keep quiet in this matter. Hey, I want you to speak in this matter. The Holy Spirit of God speaking and dealing with you. Because look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Galatians 4, verse 9 says this, but now, after that ye have known God. You got a lot of people who say that today. Oh, I know God. But then Paul adds this next little clause in there. Or rather are known of God. Well, I know Jesus. Yes, but does Jesus know you? Well, I know God. I trust God in my heart. I know God. But the question is not, that's not the question. Paul says, or rather, does God know you? There's a lot of people to claim today that they know people. But those people that they claim to know, if you were to ask those people, hey, do you know so-and-so? They're like, no, I never heard of them. You take the example of a sports figure. There's some people that can know everything about their favorite sports star. I'm just using a carnal example here. They got the posters up on the wall. They got everything that they've ever got. They got the jerseys. They got the shoes. I mean, they got everything you possibly could have. It could even be a musician. Whatever their thing is. They can know their birthday. They can know how many kids they have. They can know how many times they've been married. They can know how many records they put out. They can know every place that they've lived. They can know when they put their trash out front. They can know everything about this person. But if you were to go ask that person behind the fence, hey, do you know so-and-so out there? They say they know you, they know your birth date, they know everywhere you've lived, they know your social security number, they know when you put the trash out, they got every jersey you got, they got every record you made, they got everything, they know everything about you. Do you know them? Do you know Mark so-and-so? No, I never heard of him, man, sorry. I have no clue who he is. That's a lot of Christians today, or people who claim to be Christians. They have a lot of knowledge, they know a lot of facts, they have a lot of Bible intellect, but that's about it. They know God. Like the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, or rather known of God. Now, take your Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. The book of Acts says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2 says this, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but, Paul says here, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But verse 6 says this, but God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you have the power of God this morning? Do you have the power of God this morning? I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Do you have the power of God? Do you have the strength that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually? Can you win spiritual battles? Or have you won spiritual battles through the power of the Holy Spirit of God? You see, Nicodemus, if you go back to John chapter 3, he came to Jesus at night and he makes some statements as he's trying to ask some questions about this one who is performing all these miracles. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, is sitting back, he's looking, he's watching, and he's observing this man Jesus and all the miracles that he does. And Nicodemus realizes this, and he tells Jesus, "Jesus, you're a teacher. You've got to be a teacher that came from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus recognizes that God is working in this man, yet Nicodemus has failed yet to realize that it's not God working through this man. It is God that is this man. God's not working through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. And he's looking at it in a physical sense, but not through a spiritual lens. And I'll give you an example of it this morning. Brethren, there's a lot of people that will come to Jesus for a lot of different reasons. But the only reason that will save you is because you want him to save you. You realize that you need a savior. You realize you're drowning. And when you realize you're drowning, you don't need to tell a drowning man what to cry out. I'm almost done this morning, but hear me on that tongue. We don't let people get to the point to where they're drowning. True Bible-believing salvation doesn't have to have somebody repeat a prayer after them. Because a drowning man, he doesn't need somebody to tell him what to say. And we don't let people get to that point. We don't let them get to that point to where they cry out to God for help because they realize there's nothing left to grab a hold on. Their sin has driven them to the depths of despair. There's no hope. They're in darkness. They're sick of their life. They're sick of the way they're living. They're sick of the sins that they commit. They realize there's a holy God and that they've offended that holy God with their sin, but they see the grace and the love and the goodness of God extended to them by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they cry out to him for help, and they take hold of his hand, and he pulls them out of that miry pit and that clay and that place of awfulness and darkness and sin. And as they're crying out to the Savior for help to be saved, he reaches down and he grabs a hold of their hand and he pulls them up in the newness of life. That don't occur much nowadays because we don't want to see people get into that state because it makes us feel uncomfortable. And we want to jump in, and what we do from this step, we put out our hand and we try to take them here and put them up here, and you can't do that. And that's what a lot of Christians today, with praying these prayers, they take the individual and they think that they can take them and put them up there, where only the Lord Jesus Christ can take them and bring them up here. And we short-circuited the power and the working and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. You ask people today, were you ever underneath Holy Ghost conviction? When you got saved, were you underneath Holy Ghost conviction? I was. It wasn't man convicting me. It was God convicting me. And I can take you to the portion of Scripture that man was preaching from, and it had nothing to do with sin, yet God was all over me what I was before him. And I was underneath Holy Ghost conviction. Some might not like me for saying it, but I got to say it anyway as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Were you under Holy Ghost conviction when you got saved? Or did you just merely make a mental ascension to who Jesus Christ was, that there was a heaven, that there was a hell, that Jesus died on the cross, that you know you're a sinner, and you just said a prayer, and boom, here you are? Were you underneath Holy Ghost reproof and conviction? Toward a Holy Spirit of God was dealing with you over your position and your sinful state before Holy God. And that the Holy Ghost of God revealed to you the hope and the peace that was done for you and the help that was given to you by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 4, look what the Bible says here. I'm sorry, John chapter 6. I said in a Sunday school hour that you can't force Jesus to be your king. Look at John chapter 6 and look at verse number 14. John chapter 6 and verse number 14. Jesus just gets done feeding the 5,000 men, much less the women and children. He's got a great gathering of people around them, and he just got done teaching to them and talking to them. And now he just got done performing a great miracle for them by feeding them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But the Bible says at the very end there, when he's done feeding them and he gets ready to send the disciples away across the river or across the lake, the Bible says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. You see, he feeds those 5,000 men and those women and those children that were there. And when they perceived that he was that prophet that should come into the world, they went by force to take him and make him their king because that's what they were looking for. But they have ulterior motives, my friend. They have ulterior motives. The only reason they want him to be king is so that he'll fill their bellies. And that's the only reason they're making him king. Because take your Bible and look down at verse number 22. So look what Jesus does. They're trying to make him king. They're trying to, because they know of truth, he's the prophet. Jesus gets away from them because they're trying to make him by force to be their king. Jesus departs from them because they're coming to him with the wrong motive. And Jesus departs from them. He goes up into the mountain to pray. And while he's doing that, he's trying to teach his disciples a lesson as well, because they're thinking, who's going to be the greatest of them? And so Jesus puts his disciples in a hopeless situation, and he departs from the ones who want to make him a king. And he goes up into a mountain and he prays. But look what the Bible says there in verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein to his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, look at this, seeking for Jesus. They're seeking Jesus. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. Seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus says that he took a boat, or no, he said he didn't take a boat. He walked across the water and he helped the disciples to get over to the other side. No, Jesus doesn't answer their question. They're seeking Jesus and they're asking him a question. He doesn't answer their question. But Jesus sees the heart and he says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now look at this in verse number 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You remember that prophecy by Isaiah? Having eyes, they see, but they don't see. And having ears, they hear, but they don't hear. How in the world? This always blows my mind away when I read this portion of Scripture. Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 of you with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you had 12 basketfuls left over. And you're wanting him to perform another work? You're wanting him to do another miracle? You see, they're trying to dictate how Jesus operates. And Jesus will not allow it. You know who else wants to dictate how Jesus operates? Satan. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. You know who's behind these statements? The devil himself. And guess who they're seeking? Jesus. If you're the Son of God, show us some works. Same thing the devil said to him. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you're the Son of God, if you're really who you say you are, jump off the temple, because the Bible says that if you jump off the temple, God will send his angels and they'll catch you lest you dash your foot against a stone. The devil used Bible on Jesus. The devil knows Bible. The only problem is the devil switched up a few things in that verse and didn't quote it correctly. But the devil used the Bible on the Lord. And it's the same question that the devil asked. These people are asking, verse 30, what signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? No, my dear friend, you won't believe if you saw miracles. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm almost done. You wouldn't believe more that there's a God if all of a sudden gold started sprinkling down from the ceilings. You wouldn't no more believe in God if some man or some woman had power to raise somebody from the dead. You would no more believe in God if some man or woman had power to part the Lehigh River and walk straight across it on dry ground. You wouldn't believe if I could bring plagues in or call fire down from heaven. You wouldn't no more believe in God, because we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, I didn't come to Jesus Christ to ask him to be my Savior and my God because of what I could see. It was all by the eyes of faith. Brethren, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, as I close up, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says in Luke 5:31-32, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Think about this morning. If I came to this brother right here, and let's say you're lost. Let's just give this example. I come to this brother up here, and I say, Brother Brian, here's some pills because you got some kidney stones, and you need to take these pills so that those kidney stones get washed out. And you look at me and say, what do you mean? Well, you don't know, but I know you got kidney stones, and I want you to take the... No, he's going to be like, no, I ain't taking that medicine. No, Merle, you need to take this medicine. Well, do you know? No, he ain't taking it. If he's a smart man, he'd be like, man, I don't know. I'm going to go to a doctor. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, when I got saved, I realized I was sick in need of a physician. And a preacher's not the physician. Another brother and sister that are saved is not the physician. There's only one great physician, and that's Jesus Christ. Did you realize you were sick before you got saved? Not only did you realize you were sick, but did you realize that you needed the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal you of your sin sickness? When a seeking sinner finds a seeking Savior, something happens that cannot be explained. And it's called the new birth. It's called being born again. It's called passing from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, from being lost to being found. And that the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're now a child and you now cry out, Abba, Father, because you know that you are now a son of God. Do you know this morning that that's taken place in your life? That you passed from darkness to light? If not, I beg you to seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Cry out to Him. Get in the Bible. Get you a King James Bible. Get in the Bible and start reading and ask God to reveal His Son to you in truth. And when God reveals His Son to you in truth, call out to Him with all you've got. And I believe if that takes place, you'll be changed and never be the same ever again, because the Holy Spirit of God will now dwell within you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for your precious word. Lord, in no way this morning, Lord God, am I trying to get anybody to doubt anything. But Lord, I believe that I would be irresponsible, dear God, if I just thought that everybody that claimed Jesus Christ truly knew him. Lord, there was no doubt in the old New Testament times that there were plenty of people who would say they believe in Jesus and the works that he did. But the seed fell on stony ground. The seed fell on a heart that couldn't understand completely all that was being said. So Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, if there's someone in our midst or listening, dear God, who's scratching their head, Lord, who doesn't have the witness of the Spirit. Lord, I pray, dear God, this morning, if someone just merely just said some words, went through some type of motion, got baptized in some water, and Lord, that's all they got. Dear God, I pray you'd show them, Lord, that there's more to salvation than that. That salvation is bound up in a relationship with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I pray it wouldn't fall on deaf ears. And Lord, I pray you'd help those of us that are saved, dear God, that we would be that light, Lord. That we would preach the gospel, the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Lord, the God of this world has blinded their minds, Lord, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to shine that light into this dark world. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you this morning if you just pray for a moment. I don't want to end this thing quickly this morning. I want to take just a few seconds here this morning just to think about our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us that are saved, are we doing what we should be doing? Are we living for the Lord like we ought to be living for the Lord? Are we being obedient to what God wants us to do? And are we walking in His will? And I also like to take a little time this morning to think about if someone's here that they're not saved, they've never been truly born again of God. They don't have the Spirit whereby they cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, I pray if there's someone in our midst this morning, Lord, has never been truly born again by the power of God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just a mere profession. They've said some words, they got baptized, and they come to church. Lord, if that's all they got, Lord, I pray you'd show them true biblical salvation. So Lord, help us this morning, dear God, as we take some time here to meditate upon your word and what was said. Amen. Amen. Let's close out here in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you again for your mercy and your grace for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation through your precious Son. Lord, I pray again this morning, Lord, that this just wouldn't go in one ear and out the other. Lord, that we all take heed to it, dear God. We'd all examine ourselves. Lord, as it says in Corinthians, Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So, Lord, the principle is there, Lord, to examine and to prove ourselves, Lord, whether we be in the faith or not. So, Lord, I pray you help us to do so. And, Lord, for those of us who are saved, Lord, again, as I prayed earlier, Lord, help us to live in the light of your word. Help us to walk with you daily. And help us to be a testimony to this lost and dying world, this dark and perverse nation that we dwell in. May we just hold up the light and the truth of your word, that others may see their need of salvation and turn to you in truth through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us now this morning. Lord, I pray you dismiss us with your blessings. Lord, I pray if it be your will, you bring us back safely tonight. And just thank you again, God, for your goodness towards us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Lord willing, see you tonight. Amen.